Hey everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by SoundCloud Studios and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who is a distinguished former police commissioner with a background in homicide and forensic evidence, and he held several leadership positions in law enforcement, and including police commissioner for 15 years, also taught courses on serial crime at the University of Florida. And also, he was based on his career on ABC 90s serial The Commish. And also, he has a new book that's out, and it's through Anthony Magali of the NYPD on an international web of deceit and murder, which is tasked with solving Moscow's first ever serial case, which is full of real life adventures. And the gentleman embarked on a fellowship at Harvard Russian Research Center, going deep into Russian culture and history to ensure the book's authenticity. The book is called In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. And live, ladies and gentlemen, to Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Venice, Florida, the amazing, distinguished former police commissioner with a background in homicide and forensic evidence, served 15 years as police commissioner, held several leaderships, author of the book In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. Ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented Anthony Shembri. Anthony, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike. I'm so impressed with that introduction. I can't wait to hear what I have to say.
I think that sounds very familiar on your website. So it was on that website. I think everybody will know what we're talking about.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on board. You're a distinguished former police commissioner with a background in homicide and forensic evidence. You had several leadership positions in law enforcement, including police commissioner for 15 years, and the ABC's 90s crime drama, The Commish, is based on your life. You also wrote several episodes. You also took courses in serial crime at the University of Florida, and your new book, In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution, follows Lieutenant Anthony Magali of the NYPD on an international web of deceit and murder, and basically given the task of solving Moscow's first ever serial case. I mean, we have serial cases out here, but this is a totally brand new one, and you embarked on a fellowship at Harvard Russian Research Center to make sure it's authentic, by the way. The book is called In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution, and before getting to all that, Anthony, tell us how you first got started.
Well, you know, how the book got started was interesting because I was in law school and got into an argument with one of the professors about whether it's too late to teach ethics to lawyers when they get into law school. So I said I could write a curriculum because I've taught in colleges for 30 years. So he said, sure, why don't you do that? And that will satisfy the requirements for this course. So I did it, and I submitted it. About a month later, I got a call down to the dean's office. What the heck does the dean want with me? So I went to see the dean. She says, we love the course, well, the curriculum. We'd like to adopt it. I says, you don't need my permission. Go right ahead. Well, she says, no, we'd like you to teach it.
Huh, interesting.
I says, teach it. I didn't graduate yet. How can I teach in law school without being, she says, you graduate in June. Well, you'll start in September. I says, that's wonderful. She says, that's the first time we've ever done that, by the way. Anyway, the course got a lot of accolades, and I made the front page of the Law Journal, and the Russians saw it, invited me down to the embassy. So I told the dean, I says, I have an invitation to meet with the Russian ambassador. Is that okay with you? Would you like to join me? They said, no, go ahead, see what they want. So I went down and met with them, and they wanted to put an attaché in my course. Huh. I says, okay with me. You need, you know, permission from the dean, but that's fine with me. So they wanted me to go over and teach a course over in Moscow and bring students with me and do an exchange program. So I knew the dean would just love that. I says, I think that's a go. I said, by the way, this was in 1989. I says, well, do you have any serial crime in Russia?
Mm-hmm.
They said, yes, we just had a case we worked on for 5 years. He killed 52 children, and it took us 5 years to get him. We executed him, turned out to be the wrong guy.
Oh, no.
That's where once he said that became the plot for my book. So on the way home, I got a yellow pad. I put down the plot, the four major characters, Lieutenant Anthony McGalley. As a matter of fact, when the police commissioner in New York gets a call from the Russian ambassador, they said, we need your help because we don't have those kinds of skills.
Hmm.
So the police commissioner goes to see his chief of detectives. He says, Chief, who's the best detective in your 4,500-man bureau? He says, I know I'm going to regret this, but Lieutenant Anthony McGalley, why? He says, we're going to send him to Russia to help solve a serial crime. And the chief leans back and he says, heaven help the Russians. So McGalley goes to Russia, bringing all of his Brooklyn techniques to help them. So he put him in charge of this case. And so he's no longer Lieutenant Anthony McGalley. He's Comrade Chief Lieutenant Anthony McGalley.
Comrade, how do you like that? They probably give him some vodka to make him feel good. So
and he brings with him an assistant district attorney that he's very friendly with. She teaches international law. And she speaks Russian, and he brings her with him to do the actual prosecution if and when they get the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he meets with the chief investigator who screwed up the case, was forced to screw up the case, and they become partners. Huh. And it's funny when he picks him up at the airport, his name is Vladdy. And he says, and McGalley says, how long you been with the Moscow police? He says, no, we don't have police here. We have militia.
Oh,
he says, I've been with the militia 40 years. And McGalley says, is this the same car you started with? You know, that kind of Brooklyn humor he brings to Moscow with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of people he gets to meet, including the vice premier, who welcomes him. And he says, you know, welcome, Lieutenant Anthony McGalley. He says, that's McGalley. So everybody gets his name wrong.
And the Russians expect you to get it right. It's like, oh,
and he has problems with the medical examiner. Because he has to, and they have the best scene I like in the beginning is they lay out all the evidence for him to see.
Mm-hmm.
And his partner says, and McGalley looks at it and he says, they don't touch anything, my friend from Brooklyn. And McGalley picks up a book of matches. He says, well, it tells me something. And Vladdy says, what does it tell you, my friend from Brooklyn? He says, it tells me that the man who struck these matches is left-handed. So All of a sudden, the detectives get around him. They say, how do you know this? He says, if you put the matches in your right hand and you take it out, you go from left to right. So the matches were taken out of this book from left to right. He's left-handed.
Huh.
So Vladdy says, this must be an interesting place, this Brooklyn. So this is the kind of stuff. So they go re-interviewing and re-investigating the cases to see what kind of clues they could find. McGalley gets into an international conspiracy that he has no experience in, that he's got to wade through. So it gets kind of testy for him. And then he sends for his whole squad, and his whole squad comes to Moscow, and that's where it begins and ends.
Huh. That is rather interesting, and just made me think a couple of things. It's like, you know, working in the militia, the Kremlin, everything. And I guess according to the book, it's like, you know, how the difference solving crimes with the Kremlin compared to, you know, solving crimes here. And, you know, serial killing is basically common here. But in Russia, it's like, do they have a different version of serial killing? It's like, it makes me scratch my head. Yes. You know, executions and whatever else. But yeah.
Let me read the first sentence to you, if I may.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I worked on it a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In Russia, death has a name and evil has a face.
Uh-huh.
It's Yuri Shelnikov. If it could, no grave would have him. That's the first sentence.
Interesting.
So, of course, it's not like call me Ishmael, but I hope it's up there.
And of course, reading some of the, you know, a little bit of book here that says unexpected turn, left with no choice and everything else. And, you know, some of the other cases, too. We'll talk about the book In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution with Anthony Shembri. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show. Get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout-out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those you love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia has garnered great reviews in Eve 11 and George by Howard celebrities, including Duane Cassidy, Forge Riley, and Manilis. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on our 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Anchor FM, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Audible, Apple Music, Odyssey, Podbean, and also your favorite podcast platforms. Also, follow us on BitChute, LinkedIn, Instagram, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Take us with you on any mobile device. Follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/Mia Molson-Zia for great books like Missing, Once and Wrinkles. Also t-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/Mia Molson-Zia. Check it out today and support the Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and themikewagnershow.com. We're here with the distinguished former police commissioner with a background in homicide, forensic evidence, and police commissioner of 15 years, Anthony Shembri, here on the Mike Wagner Show with the book In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. Before we get back to the book as well too, and one of my favorite shows from the 90s, The Commish, was on, and it was basically based on your life, and you wrote several episodes. Tell us more about that. That was a great show.
Yes, I did, because I was technical advisor, and in some of the cases I really got a chance to write and learn a new skill, screenwriting. I had a bishop that killed two girls and cut their bodies up on a basement floor. And when we executed a search warrant on the floor, I found a piece of skin on the floor. From skin, they can tell if it's male or female skin. So that's very good, strong, circumstantial evidence. So I said, I know what a jury likes, having been involved in so many trials. So I said, okay, let's take the floor. And the guy from the lab says, you mean you want to picture the floor? I said, no, I want the floor. Mm-hmm. He said, well, how are we going to do that? I said, you know those machines, when they cut up the floors on the corner and it goes. He says, yes, get me those machines that go. And I had the forensic guys cut it out. And the lab says, okay, now how are we going to get it out of here? I said, take the wall down. He says, you could do that? I says, it's a crime scene. I'm a chief. I could take it down. I own this house. So we took it down, and I rolled it into the courtroom. And this is the first time that a floor was ever used as evidence in a courtroom. And, of course, we recovered the bones from the lake. And when we... the medical examiner, he and I became great friends. He says, Anthony, these are human bones. So, you know, I've always been fascinated with the creative process. What makes it think? What makes you get creative? I was in a toy store for some reason. I don't know if it was Christmas. And I saw a picture of a dinosaur. So I said, you know, If they could put a dinosaur together, putting bones together of a human being could be pretty easy. So I took a plane on my own credit card and I went to the Smithsonian. And I walked in, and the first desk I got to, I said to this woman, "What do you call the man that puts the dinosaurs together?" She says, "Director of Paleontology." I said, "I'd like to see him, please." She says, "Do you have an appointment?" I says, "No, but I got 600 bones in this bag that I'd like him to look at for me." I forgot to tell her who I was. She called the police and I got arrested, and they
Oh.
promptly took me to police headquarters before I had a chance to identify myself. They brought me back and they called my chief, who promptly fainted. So when we woke him up and told him I was there, finally this director came out. He was a wonderful man. He put the bones in an exhibit. I don't know if you could see this, Mike. Okay.
Okay,
This is a
up a little closer a
skeleton
bit.
with all a picture of a skeleton. And on both the left and right sides, the corresponding bones of a human body representing the two girls that were murdered. Okay. So he put them together for me and he testified. The first time someone like him ever testified in a murder case. He happened to be a police buff. And they said, "What's your occupation?" "Director of paleontology for the Smithsonian." "Did you have the occasion to examine 600 bones brought to you by Mr. Shembri?" "Yes, I did." "What's your result?" "These are the bones of two slight-built females. One was 5 foot 2, one was 5 foot 4. These are the corresponding bones." And case was over, 25 years to life consecutively.
Wow.
Yeah, it was moving. I've lectured on this at Scotland Yard, and they were just wowed about this case. This case always wows people on how far we went, how far you could go. That's providing you don't have lazy and untrained detectives.
Yes, that's a good point. And I'm glad that you went out of your way to do this, do that, and everything else. And you talked about you being a toy store, you're fascinated with bones. And how'd you first get involved with crime forensics, serial killing, and everything like that, even way back in the beginning? It's like, how'd you first get
Well,
involved or get started?
that's a just a wonderful story. When I was about 14, I took my next door neighbor to the police station because her uncle was missing,
Oh.
and we went down to report it. The people in front of us were reporting a lost dog,
Oh my
and the
gosh.
lieutenant took the report and he said, "We'll do everything we can. We'll start looking for him, the dog, immediately." Then he got to us and he said, "How long has he been missing?" And we said, 12 hours. And he said, "It's our policy. We don't look for anyone unless they're gone for 48 hours." I said, "Well, he was walking a dog at the time. Does that make a difference?"
Gotcha.
So he gave me what you would call a dirty look. And he says, "Well, okay, let me take a description of the dog." So we gave him the description of our uncle and the dog. A detective was going upstairs. He winked at me and he motioned me to come upstairs to the detective squad. And he says, "What's your name, kid?" I says, "Anthony." Because in Brooklyn, you're not called Anthony, you're called Anthony.
Anthony,
And,
right. Well, I'll start calling you Anthony. Thanks for the reminder, Anthony.
Anthony, and he said, "That was pretty fast of you, kid." I says, "Well, you got to do what you got to do sometimes." And he was typing on an old Remington pretty slow. I said, "That must take you a long time to do reports, typing so slow." He says, "Can you do it faster?" I said, "Sure can." He opened the gate. I went in and I typed up his report from his notes. So he says, "Look, from time to time, we need help." This was the time where they didn't have civilians. It was just policewomen, detectives, and that was it. So they would send sometimes when they made a lot of arrests, they send a car to pick me up to do the typing.
Huh,
And if I
interesting.
type and I type for them 2 or 3 hours, they buy me something to eat. They treat me like I was a mascot. Everybody in the neighborhood thought I was a bad kid because I was always getting in and out of police cars. So, by the time I was 17, I had 3 years investigating experience with the best detectives in Brooklyn who taught me how to interview people, how to watch, movements, how to interpret what people say. He was just, as a matter of fact, when he died, I got notice that he was dying. I went to the hospital in Brooklyn, and he was on his deathbed, and he wanted to see my badge, and he held it in his hand. He couldn't believe that he was holding the badge of the police commissioner kid that he brought in when he was 14.
Oh my goodness, what an honor. Oh my
It
gosh.
was a great day in his life and my life. He's mentioned in the book because Vladdy asks him, he says, "Anthony, how did you get started in policing?" And then I tell him the story about me and Detective Johnny Burke.
That's interesting. Johnny Burke, I'd like to hear more about. It sounds like you were one of the best in the business there.
Oh, yeah, he was, a matter of fact, he caught the thrill killers in Brooklyn and he got promoted to first grade on the basis of that case. So he was, when he retired as a first grade detective, which is pretty hard to get in New York.
Oh, I
Takes you
bet,
20 or
yes.
30 years to get that.
Wow, and he did it that quick, huh?
Yeah, he was the smartest detective I ever met.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And of course, maybe some of your other ventures as well too, like, or how about some more unusual ones, maybe a bit off the wall and everything, like some of the serial cases you solved, or some more off the walls. I love the one with the dinosaur bones. That was great. So
Well, he taught me about people too. One night they were taking me home, and there was a guy that had a gun to his wife's head. And we went there, and he said, "Anthony, stay in the car." And it was a hot night, and we went into the hallway, and they didn't even have their guns out. And the man had a gun to his wife's head. And he said, "Stay back, or I'll kill her." And Burke says, "I don't care. She doesn't mean anything to me. Shoot her. What do I care?" So, I couldn't believe that they were saying something like this. So, and by the way, he says, "After you shoot her, my partner's going to shoot you and he's going to get promoted." So he turned to him in this small hallway and he shook his hand, congratulating him on a promotion he was going to get after he shot this man in the hallway.
Oh,
So
wow.
the man said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, you see, after you shoot your wife, my partner is going to shoot you and he's going to get promoted." And he turned to him and he says, "Hey, John, that'll be about a $3,500 raise, won't it?" He says, "Yeah." And they're talking about his promotion. And he says, "You mean if he shoots me, he's going to get a promotion?" He says, "Sure." He throws the gun down. He says, "I'm not going to let him get promoted because he shot me."
Oh my
And
gosh.
I, now, something like that wears on you. When I was a young detective, a guy came into my office in the criminal court squad, and he says, "How do I was all by myself. My squad was out." And he says, "How do you get to the top of the building?" I said, "What do you want the top of the building for?" He said, "I want to jump off." I said, "That's a dangerous person, by the way." So I said, he says, "You want to jump off?" He says, "Yes." I says, "Do you have a permit to jump off the building?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you can get in trouble for jumping off the building without a permit. This is a city building. This criminal court, it belongs to the city of New York. You got to get a permit." He says, "Well, how would I get one?" I said, "Well, you have to go down to Kings County Hospital. I write you a note." So I wrote him a note on the pads that were given us, and I put issue one roof jumping permit to Bearer.
No.
And I gave it to
Clever.
him. And he said, well, how would I get there? I said, if you don't mind, I could save your bus fare. Have a seat on a couch. You don't mind, we'll give you a lift in a police car. He says, oh, that's nice. Thank you. Thank you. So I called two uniforms in. I said to both of them, you see the guy on the couch? He's a psycho. I take him to KCH. Don't cuff him. I said, and just have him psycho him. About an hour later, I get a call from this doctor. He says, are you Detective Shim? I said, yeah. He says, I got a guy here. You want me to issue him a roof jumping permit? I says, no, I want you to keep him. He says, you mean he's suicidal? I says, yes. He says, we'll keep him. I said, that's a wonderful idea. Now, that's something that Johnny Burke would have done.
How do you like that? I mean, great minds think alike, I got to say that. I guess the question is, what would the Russians do in that case? That's a good question.
So I've seen them pull so many of that stuff that it just kind of wears off. Excuse me.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, you're entitled to it. I'll do the same thing. Have a little coffee with you and everything else. So, oh, yeah. So and of course, you know, you also went from New York to Florida. And tell us more about the ventures going from New York to Florida.
Well, when the course happened, Mayor Koch saw the course and he offered me the job of inspector general to weed out corruption, fraud, waste and abuse in New York City. So I took it and I was there for about 2.5 years. And then I got so many threats from the gangs and what have you on Rikers Island that it was time to retire. We moved to Florida, where the governor read about me and offered me the job to run the juvenile prison system.
Okay.
So I was appointed secretary of the Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, and I was there for about 2 years. It was the largest juvenile system in the country. We admitted 123,000 kids a year.
Wow.
We reduced juvenile crime some 17% in the state of Florida. So anyway, that was one of my jobs. And then I came back and I became Commissioner Corrections. I get it backwards. But anyway, I was Commissioner Corrections first, then went to Florida when I left the inspector, the general's office. Then I retired in Florida and I became a professor at the Sheffield Hallam University in England. And I lectured at Oxford. I did seminars. I still go over there every year. And I love the classroom. And my kids love the way I teach. And I teach criminal law a lot different than they usually get. And so I've always loved teaching.
That is fascinating. Wow. Oh, my gosh, yes. And, of course, you could also teach the Russians a little bit more as well, too, according to the book, In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution.
Yes. Well, we taught them how to investigate a case properly.
And what are some of the things that were doing wrong, you know, compared to what you guys were doing? It's like, you know, they haven't had a serial case in, like, so long. They've been, I guess, you had that guy doing for 40 years and, you know, some of the things they did wrong. And then you managed to straighten up. What were some of the things you did? And then how to manage to get straightened up.
Yeah, you know, they don't look for patterns. See, patterns is, you know, a detective gets a case, he investigates that case. A case 10 miles away in the same borough could have the same patterns, but they're not looking at it. And so he doesn't connect with that detective. You know?
Right, yes. Uh-huh. And also the fact that, yeah, some real life adventures as well too in the book. And what do you want the readers to get out of the book? And if there's something else you want to talk about as well.
Well, I always tell detectives when they get assigned to me, if they're a person that people could say no to, you can't work for me. Okay? Detectives are prima donnas. They want, a lot of them are. Okay? So when they bring them on board, we give them a new mission of life, okay, to investigate and solve crimes and not think about promotions and not think about awards and award ceremonies, but think about the case and what they have to do to clear it.
And certainly did as well, too. And a bit more about the book, In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution, and more with Anthony Shembri, or Antony, we'll call him that. You're listening to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing. We'll be back with the multi-talented Antony Shembri of In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution after this time. We're back with author Antony Shembri on the Mike Wagner Show with In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. And not only you also wrote that book, you also wrote Thank God It's Monday, Leadership for the Soul. And tell us more about that.
Well, as but before I forget, lead in Russia, A Brooklyn Solution will be released in 2 or 3 days. I would appreciate if you told your listeners that, okay?
Okay.
It'll be released in 2 or 3 days. Okay. This is a book about leadership. I don't know if you could see it. I wrote that some time ago. Okay. Can you see that,
Yes, I can
Mike?
see it.
Okay. It was about leadership. I've always been fascinated with organizations. What makes them tick? Why are some better than others? And I've always felt that the reason why one organization is better than another is because the people in charge. Why is this Girl Scout cookie group selling more Girl Scout cookies than any other? Why does this squad solve more cases than anybody else? It's because of the leadership. Okay. That's important that, and I always felt that those skills, and I looked at various studies about leadership skills, what made them tick, why were some better than the others. And I found that the reason why some organizations are more successful than others is because the leader takes care of the people who works for him. That's why it's called leadership for the soul, because he takes care of the people who works for him. And that's important. Okay.
And very important as well, too. And where can we find Thank God It's Monday, Leadership for the Soul, and most importantly, In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. That'll be out in about 2, 3 days. Where can we find those in the meantime?
Well, you could find Leadership for the Soul on eBay because it's out of print. Okay. And In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution will be on Amazon in about 2 or 3 days. In Amazon, in Russia, A Brooklyn Solution will be, you'll be able to order it on Amazon.
All right, we'll certainly do that as well too. And how can people reach you as well too, and what's your website?
We're just putting it up. We're playing with it. I didn't know that I should have a website.
Everybody's got to have a website, including yours truly here.
It's called anthonyshembri.com. It's
AnthonyShembri.com.
not finished yet, but there, we put some a few things on that about me and about the book that you would find interesting. For example, one of the quotes in Russia, A Brooklyn Solution is by the former detective inspector of homicide in Scotland Yard, Richard Keogh, who says, quote, "An exhilarating read with an authenticity that only comes from an author who has lived and breathed their subject."
Yes, indeed. And of course, you went down there to really, really get involved with it. And of course, that took a lot of work and also just fascinating.
Yes, And they picked up a couple of things from me, and I picked up a couple of things from them.
Which one is that you picked up from them?
Well, it was more about Russia and the Russian people. Okay. It's a really a corrupt society. You can't even get a cab to stop for you unless you showed them a pack of camels or something like that. So bribes even work just to get a cab to stop for you.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. It's a different society.
And certainly is too. And of course, we're here with Anthony Chembri of the book In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution, here on the Mike Wagner Show. Anthony, just a few more things. What else can you expect me in 2024 and beyond?
Excuse me.
What else can we expect me in 2024 and beyond?
Well, I think a second book is in the works, but I would like to see this as a movie, because when I became a script writer, a screenwriter, I picked up a new skill, and so many of the fellas I met in Hollywood that helped that did the commish with me, well, I did it with them rather. Taught me this skill, and s many of them said this is a movie because you wrote this almost like a screenplay. You know, you're putting words into fictitious characters in their mouths, and you're creating a character. What drives the character? For example, one of the characters is the vice premier of the Soviet Union. What drives him? He becomes a suspect. How does he become a suspect? Okay. So there's some quite many twists and turns that I was able to encapsulate from the stuff I've spoken to Russians about. You've got to remember that we had a big Russian neighborhood in Brooklyn called Odessa. So I went in and out of Odessa, and I've arrested quite a number of Russian people when I was a detective in Brooklyn. Okay? And saved a couple of them from getting beaten up and mugged. And I was able to track down, and they were able to help me about the Russian culture. So hopefully it's a movie. If it does, I'll make sure you get a ticket.
Definitely will. And I've got my wallet ready and credit cards in case anybody asks, and it's ready to
Thank you, Mike, and
go.
thanks for having me.
Sure thing. And of course, a couple of things. What do you consider biggest influence in your career?
In my career, I would say Johnny Burke is my, and then an assistant district attorney. I spent 14 years in a prosecutor's office, an assistant DA named John Meglio. My first partner, Detective Peter Vasakis. So those are the people that showed me how to conduct investigations.
And you did a great job of it as well, too, Anthony. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Best advice, don't look for the end of the road. Enjoy the travel. You're not going to get promoted for everything. You're not going to get everything you want. But enjoy the journey.
And certainly doing as well. We're here with author Anthony Chembri of In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution here on the Mike Wagner Show. Anthony, very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Looking forward to having you again soon. Great stories. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back. Once again, what's the website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out the book that's coming up as well? If you want to show it to our viewers, that'd be great too.
Okay. The book is called In Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. It'll be on Amazon in about 3 or 4 days tops. Go to Amazon either under my name or the title in Brooklyn, in Russia, A Brooklyn Solution. The other one, Leadership for the Soul, if you could find it, it'll be on eBay. It's out of print. I'm going to do that all over again.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
Thank you for having me, Mike.
sounds good. And thank you. Looking forward to having you soon. Just keep us up to keep to date. Love to have you back. Wish you all the best. And Anthony, you definitely have a great future, have you?
Thank you. Thank you. Bye now, Mike.